Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi. Hey, everybody, it is Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, and I am your host, T. Morris. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Chuck Tomasi. Hey, Chuck, how are you today?
Doing wonderful, T. Off to a great start and looking forward to another episode.
So, as you all know, during this season of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, we decided to go and do compendiums for each chapter. We've been working through our own book, and we've been talking about this is what we need to do, this is what we need to cover, and let's go beyond what we talked about in the book, what we could talk about in the book, and we talk about any updates that have happened after the book has come out. So chapter 14, which is what this particular episode is about, is Show Me the Money. And we talk about making money with podcasting. Okay. Chuck and I talked about this before we before we went live, and we said, you know what, let's do a proper addendum. And the proper addendum for this particular chapter is, here's why we are not the biggest fans of chapter 14. Yes, chapter 14, Show Me the Money, should be something that we cover, because there are people that make money at podcasting. However, there are people who make money streaming on Twitch that make big money, that make good money. Not everyone is going to get there.
Right.
Not everyone is going to get there, and not everyone who streams is going to be a Lupo, or it's going to be a Pokimane, or is going to be a Ninja. In the same vein with podcasting, not everyone's going to be Welcome to Night Vale. Not everyone's going to be Serial. Not everyone is going to be
Joe Rogan.
The Joe Rogan Experience. Please don't get me started on the Joe Rogan Experience, but beside the point. So let's have an honest to God talk about making money at podcasting. Chuck, why don't you go on ahead and use that example you were talking about earlier before we actually hit record about the seminars from the people who are saying I can make you a six-figure podcaster.
There are podcasts about monetizing your podcast. There are seminars. There are entire conferences and tracks at podcasting conferences about how to monetize. And frankly, 99.9% of the people are, maybe even higher than that, are not going to achieve that, I'm going to quit my day job and just start with podcasting. The only people that are making money off of those conferences are the conference people themselves by getting you to come to those. So if your mission in life is to start a podcast to make money, T and I are in agreement on this. You're probably starting for the wrong reason. Follow your passion. Rule number one, share what you love. Share what you talk to your friends about. Share what you talk to your family about. Even, I use this very cautiously, even if it's about politics, religion, and dirty jokes.
For example, Mika in my chat, Mika said earlier, those who can do, those who can't teach. So I got some bad news for Mika. If you were to ask me, where did I make the majority of my money as a podcaster, it was teaching courses in podcasting.
Yeah.
People would hire me to come in and teach people how to podcast. And I, I'm one of the guys that wrote the book on podcasting. And where I made the majority of my money, because I have made money in podcasting from, some from donations, some from, being hired by people to do promos for themselves, for their podcasts. I've made money selling ad space on my podcasts. But the majority of my money made via podcasting was either in teaching courses in podcasting, giving workshops in podcasting, or being hired to be a keynote for a podcast, for a podcast conference. That's where I made my money.
You got paid
and,
for that?
Wow,
I didn't ask.
Once or twice. Once or twice. Okay. Not all the time, but once or twice. And when I say I got paid, sometimes I got paid in people took care of my meals and my travel and my sure. And my hotel room. And to me, that was enough.
Yeah.
That was enough. And so that is where I make the bulk of my money in podcasting. And when you're talking, you guys are getting paid? Yeah, exactly. we get paid to do that. We do not, you know, when people said, I know there were some people that have looked at my career in podcasting and go, well, you know, T focused his career on teaching people how to podcast. So he was, you know, he didn't really make money. He was actually giving his skills away and all this stuff. No, I was getting paid every time I gave a class. I never donated my time. My time is worth – the only time I've ever donated, and even then it was self-serving, was when Chuck and I did a PIY workshop, which we're desperate when we can start traveling again to do again. But even then, that was a promo for this book. It was a promo for Podcasting for Dummies. But yeah, every time I taught a course in podcasting, that would be if I could just get a media pass to an event, I called it exactly Phoenix Dev. Exactly. If you can get a media pass, yeah, that's a score. I remember, now this is non-podcasting related. Well, maybe it's sort of podcasting related, but like I remember that Pip and I, when we were touring with the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences first book, Phoenix Rising, we thought it was a smash, like a knockout of the park when we got free access to New York Comic Con. And that was because we were talking on panels and we were signing books. That was a huge success for us. But
yeah, I've had that a couple of times at Dragon Con too. It's like, woohoo,
exactly.
I'm a pro.
I know. You're
saving me $80.
Exactly. Exactly. You're still spending $1,200 for the entire week, but hey, $80. Woohoo. Another round of drinks. Anyway, but the idea is that when I would where I would make my money in podcasting was in seminars. And I would even say I made more money with the seminars than I did with this book.
And I know what that amount is.
exactly. But the reason why was because of frequency. People just were like, they were desperate in 2007, between 2007 and 2009, 2010, people were desperate to learn how to podcast and how to podcast for a business. And I would be hired to come in and spend a day with a company. But that's my point. I rarely made money off the podcast itself.
Sure.
And to put it in streamer terms, it's a bit like with again, this is conjecture. So bear with me. But with Dr. Lupo, who is one of the big streamers on Twitch, I think he's been really smart about how he's managed his streaming career, because Lupo is not just making money off of his stream, but he's gone from being like a face for like Razer and Logitech and stuff like that to he is now doing spots for State Farm, Gillette, and what was the other one? And he actually did a promo for Borat. For the new Borat film, which I will tell you right now, that was one of the savviest, coolest spots I've ever seen, because it was Borat streaming from his home country. And it was basically Sarah Bashan Cohen in his underwear. And he was surrounded by this by computer equipment that had to be at least 50 years old. It was a brilliant spot. Again, that's where he's making the bulk of his money. It's no different than professional athletes. Professional athletes aren't making their money playing the sport. They're making it in endorsements.
Right.
So
right.
when it comes to making money with podcasting, if you're saying this is going to be my next ticket, this is going to be Welcome to Night Vale, I can tell you right now, the folks from Welcome to Night Vale did not make their money with the podcast. They made their money with the live shows that they did. Those live shows were not, hey, free admission.
Not for them.
I looked at the tickets. Trust me. somebody was making some bank on those live recordings. But what about you, Chuck? What are your thoughts about getting paid to do this?
I still subscribe to follow your passion and the money will follow. This started out as a really obscure hobby of mine at one point. Back in 2004, I was listening to a few podcasts and went, I think I could do that, if not better, or take it on a different vibe. And, you know, Lord help us, those podcasts are still out there and we won't ever speak of them again.
We will not speak of this.
But it led to more things. In fact, I remember a comment. I was doing a drive time podcast, you know, where you're talking into, I think I had a headset hooked up to something while I was driving, picking up the kids from school, whatever it was.
Right,
and
my boss
had his kids at the same school, and he stopped by and goes, "Are you podcasting?" I said, "Sure am. You're now on the air." And he said, "You know, someday you're going to amount to something." I mean, it wasn't that exact words or that derogatory.
Right.
And I look back on that and go, you know, he was right. If you keep polishing that craft, keep polishing, use it as part of your portfolio, it will build to other things. And now
absolutely.
I look and go, holy doodles, man, I've got two rooms in my house dedicated to my profession. This is now part of my DNA of what I do for my day job. That's where I'm getting paid. And yes, I've got a podcast for work. Yes, I've got several live streams for work. Yes, a lot of my home equipment is invested in that, but they've also invested some in my equipment as well. So it's a mixture of came with the house, I bought it, or work bought it. And I get to live my dream now. This is where I want to be. But there's also the non-tangible wins out of this, the network, the global network of friends. Not even going to call them listeners or viewers. They are friends of mine that have sent postcards. I go to London and a guy drives 2 hours from Birmingham to come down and have lunch with me. And just who we meet at the conferences that go, "Oh, I love your videos," or "I listen to your podcast." Or we mentioned it on the last episode, someone who writes you and says, "You changed my career." Like,
right.
Win-win for me, for them, for everyone, because I had this obscure hobby years ago that just built on itself and became part of that portfolio. Like you said, I feel like I won from the endorsements, not from playing the sport.
Right. And again, that's where we have this chapter in the book because people want to know, how do we make money at this? And I remember being at a book signing and I was talking about, there was a guy who was toying around with the idea of having me on his podcast, but he wanted to know my background. He wanted to know, what would I bring, you know, he actually said, "Why would I want to have you on my podcast?" And I said, "Well, I've been podcasting for this time. I've been working with social media. I have books on Twitter and I have books on how to represent yourself online, how to carry yourself online, how to be safe online." And he just shook his head and he said, "I'm more interested in people who make money." And I remember my response to him. I said, "Well, then I guess I'm not going to be on your podcast."
Yeah. Yeah.
And he stared at me. He stared at me like I'd insulted him. But I'm like, "No, I'm not going to be on your podcast." Because if you want to make your podcast into a money-making venture, yes, you can do that. But you've already created a hill that you're probably going to die on. Mm-hmm. And where I look at the victories of a podcast, it's in the quality of the content that we create, and also in the guests that we cultivate. Like there was a we did. I don't even know how it happened. I don't even know how it happened. But I remember we were in the first year of Happy Hour from the Tower, and somehow I got Courtney Taylor, who is one of the voices of the characters of Destiny, and a lot of people also know her from Mass Effect 2, which they just released this weekend. At the time of this recording, they just released the Legendary Edition, which is a remastered version of the game. And we had Courtney leave behind a voicemail for one of our show members, Nick Kelly, and it made his day. But then Nick started reaching out to her and said, "Would you like to come on the show?" And not only did she come on the show, she brought with her Sissy Jones, who was another voice talent. And we had originally planned to have this one voice actor on the show. We wound up having two, and then we got other voice actors to come on the show. And now, at the time of this recording, this weekend, we are having a return visit from the voice director, the guy that directs all of this talent. And I mean, that sort of thing is just, to me, that's gold.
Right. That's gold. That's the moneymaker for me. I mean, you may not recognize a dollar from those episodes specifically, but just the relationships you forge are worth their weight.
It
really is. Now, I will throw this out. Technically, Technorama does make money. We started a Patreon program. We had PayPal for years, and it was not quite up to just the bandwidth costs. But Patreon changed that, and we've got a couple dozen people that kick in a dollar or two every month or every episode.
Right.
So if we don't produce, we don't make. And we get the payment from them. That helps cover our costs of bandwidth, hosting, domain registration, even occasional equipment. The headphones I got with the house kind of died after a few years.
Right.
They'd leave the black circles on your ears.
Yeah, exactly. I know that pain.
And it's like, you know what? Let's take it out of the Patreon fund. That's what it's there for. So not only does my wife not question my somewhat questionable hobbies that I take up because they can lead to bigger benefits, she doesn't have to give me the stink eye like, isn't work going to pay for that software upgrade? It's like, nah, it comes out of the Patreon fund. So does the Aphonic bill.
We're covered.
And truly, truly appreciate those people that think our content is valuable enough to help fund that. And we thank them on every show. We give them bonus content. What your program looks like is completely up to you.
Right.
But that is one aspect of actually making the money. And to be honest, it took us 16 years to get there.
And again, that's the real... I like the idea of Phoenix Dev said, I like the idea of donation per episode. Great motivator to keep making episodes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would say that Patreon is probably the best way to keep content flowing. The reason I have not dove into Patreon is mainly because I look at Patreon as sort of the Kickstarter that never ends. And having done three Kickstarters in my life, two of which were huge successes, one of which was a near success, but what I would call a successful failure, that stress in my life I just don't need. Now, my wife maintains a Patreon, and she does a pseudo-podcast, pseudo-audiobook with her Patreon, and she's been having some really good early results with it. I know another podcaster, a guy by the name of Phil Rossi, he does this thing where he runs a Patreon, does an exclusive podcast for the Patreon, and then months later he re-releases his content for free. And he's now doing a paranormal investigation podcast called Don't Turn Around, which is perfect for Phil Rossi if you know his fiction. And the thing about making money, it is not out of the ordinary. It is not impossible to make money. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that making your podcast straight out of the box as a money-making venture may be detrimental to the podcast itself.
Right, right.
Because you're going to be demanding results straight away. And when people talk about the success stories, when they talk about Serial, when they talk about Lore, when they talk about Welcome to Night Vale, I recommend taking a moment, just taking a breath and looking at it. And saying, okay, well, what did they do differently? Or what was different about them? Serial, for example, that was NPR. NPR did Serial.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of people forget that. They did Serial. Aaron Menke, who does Lore, I would say and Welcome to Night Vale. Welcome to Night Vale was professional actors and professional audio engineers, people who really knew what they were doing, and they were just doing this little quirky side project. And if you look at the difference between Welcome to Night Vale and when Welcome to Night Vale became popular, the early episodes of Welcome to Night Vale was just one voice and the weather, which was the featured artist, right? And for many episodes, it was just the voice. It was just the guy who did the voice of Night Vale, mm-hmm. and this. That's all it was. When they started becoming popular, when they started to go viral, that was when they started getting voice actors to come in, and people like Will Wheaton and stuff like that. They really became bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they became Night Vale, you know? Now the one that was really interesting was Aaron Menke, and he's the guy that created Lore. And I think that part of his success was that he was passionate about it. He was really passionate about it. And I believe he had a Patreon, and the Patreon was about, you know, people were submitting to his Patreon ideas for like, hey, have you looked into this, this, you know, tall tale? Have you looked into this legend? Have you looked into here? Their early episodes, they never saw what was coming. They never saw what was coming, except for maybe Serial, because Serial had NPR backing.
Yep.
And even then, the reason why Serial, I think, really did well was because it was true crime.
That, and I will tip of the hat to their marketing department for coming out right out of the gate saying, the most popular podcast.
Like, yeah.
How did they make that claim right from the start?
Right.
But that was pretty ballsy, if you ask me.
It's very ballsy. But I mean, so when you say I'm going to make a podcast and I'm going to, you know, eventually quit my day job, it's a bit like saying I'm going to start streaming and I'm going to be the next big thing. And here's how I'm going to do it. And I've seen some people try to find their niche, trying to find their gimmick. And I've seen people do some amazing things as streamers. I've also seen people do some things as streamers that make me go, how long can you keep that momentum? You know, how can you keep that? How long can you keep that pace? Because, you know, creating content is hard.
Yep.
Creating content is very, very hard. Where I would say if you're starting off a podcast and you say, I would like to eventually make money at it, look at the alternative ways of making money at it. Look at seminars, look at workshops, look at teaching courses. Because yes, people will pay for you to come in.
There are some hugely successful podcasts that have tens or hundreds of thousands of listeners that do not do advertising. They could.
Right.
They are vehicles to the conferences, to the webinars, to the workshops, to the services they provide, and that's where they make their money. So the
right.
And I almost feel guilty because I'm consuming all this great content in the podcast and going, yeah, I did go to one of the conferences at one point and I got a lot out of it. So it's like you said, it's don't think of the podcast as the ends to making money. It's
right.
It's the means to making money. If I said that right, I'm not sure I did. The other thing that I wanted to throw out there as we're getting closer to time is
right.
Don't try and figure out what that magic recipe is. If lightning strikes, lightning will strike. I have watched so many live streams and listened to so many podcasts of a couple of yahoos sitting around making a conversation with, and they're talking about nothing. Literally, it just kind of meanders from one topic to the other.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. Go,
yeah.
What are they doing different than us couple of chuckleheads that are doing Technorama?
It's heartbreaking.
You know what? I don't care. As long as we're having fun,
yeah.
Let them be them and us be us. And they have a whole different set of problems about bandwidth and how to, you know, stream and that we don't have to figure out. So good on them. And if it works for us, it works for us. If not, we've got our loyal community that's been with us for over a decade.
I mean, I remember when we were looking for a podcast to highlight in this particular edition. And I remember there was one, and I always made it a point. I said, I want to at least listen to the first, to an episode. And I'm, you know, that'll make me decide whether or not I want to give people ink. And I remember finding this one episode. I'm not going to go into who it was. I'm not going to go into, but it was, I do remember both hosts were out of California and I made it 5 minutes into the stream. I made it 5 minutes into their podcast. And I said, I cannot listen to anymore. Because it was like, so I was aligning my chakras and having my milk fofu latte and I was, you know, getting my vitamin D as you normally do on my balcony of my penthouse, looking over San Fernando Valley, and I just was like, I'm done, you know, and I would look and this person had sponsorship. This person was toting huge numbers in there, and that's the other thing. When they tote huge numbers in their show descriptions, my first thing is take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Take that with a grain of salt.
AKA Serial saying they're the biggest podcast on week one.
On week one, because one of the things that I did notice was they were part of a network, and these are how sometimes networks work. What they will do is they will say, okay, we'll guarantee you X amount of numbers. And what they do is they syndicate your show on other people's feeds. And mm-hmm. that counts as a download. So literally you could say, oh, look at my first show out of the box has 100,000 downloads. That does not mean you have 100,000 listeners. You have 100,000 downloads.
Right.
And that's there's a line that gets crossed with marketers when they go, oh yeah, you got 100,000. They never tell you that you have 100,000 listeners. You have 100,000 downloads.
Yep.
Now, if you go to a potential sponsor, a potential advertiser, and you show them your numbers and you put in front of them, look, I have 100,000 downloads. That's not what the person who's going to sponsor your podcast thinks. They're going to look at this and go, oh, you have 100,000 listeners.
Right.
And the reason why that's bad is that if they don't see a tick up in their sales or whatever they're hawking, that's when they're going to go, yeah, I don't think we want to sponsor your podcast anymore.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned networks, and I think that's a great way to expand your potential revenue. We were part of Farpoint Media for a number of years.
We're part of Farpoint Media for a while.
Alone, we didn't have the listenership to attract a sponsor. So mm-hmm. by joining Farpoint, we were asked to run ads for, what was it at the time? GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar or GoToMeeting.
GoToMeeting, yeah.
Go to South Park. I'm not sure where we're going. and we would run those, and we would get a slice of that pie based on our relative. And it was like, hey, this is cool. That helped offset our costs for a couple of years. Now, ultimately, the landscape changed, and we fell out of that. But it was it's a possibility. Look at a potential network as a way of doing revenue sharing.
But I would say, in closing, what I would say about making money is that the podcast itself really shouldn't be the money making venture. The podcast should be an outlet. The podcast should be your voice. It can lead to money making opportunities. But to realistically think that your next podcast is going to capture lightning in the bottle in the way that Serial did, in the way that Welcome to Night Vale did, in the way that Lore did, in a way that the Joe Rogan Experience did. I mean, people love to say Joe Rogan is a podcast sensation. You know, he is. But also keep this in mind. Joe Rogan was on a hit NBC comedy series.
He had a following beforehand, and that's a big piece of
that's
it.
That's a big, and that's something that you never hear anybody talk about. Oh yeah, Joe Rogan, he came into the podcasting scene, was an instant success. No, he was Joe frickin' Rogan, man. Yep. He was on news radio. He was on he was an MMA commentator for a while, and when he was starting off as a podcaster, he got a chance to hang out with Anthony friggin' Bourdain, who had his own audience on CNN. So, again, you look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. And for the love of all that is holy, do not compare your podcast to another podcast that you're perceiving is doing way better than yours.
It's tempting to do.
It's very tempting to, and it's a human thing to do. It is a human thing to do. I have heard in my day, I have heard some terrible podcasts about Destiny. And I mean, just some of it was utterly ridiculous. And the guy was bragging about his numbers. And I'm sitting going, where is he getting these numbers? And why did he quit after only four episodes? and to me, with Happy Hour, my idea is, you know what? We put out an episode, and it's honest and it's fun and we're having a good time. And that is the whole intent. And You know, and that's why you should be podcasting. Does that mean you can't make money at podcasting? No, of course you can make some money at podcasting, but don't have it be your be all and end all. It, you know, you look at a bigger picture and really ask yourself, why am I podcasting? And if it isn't because I love what I'm talking about, I think you're going to run into some problems. So, Chuck, what would you have to say to add to that? What would you have to add to that before we wrap it up?
I think we pretty much covered it. That was a good summary. Do it for the passion.
Do it for the passion. And we're going to be coming back to that probably in later episodes. But we'd love to know what you think about this. We'd love to know what you think about the opportunities for making money, about the opportunities for turning your podcast into a revenue generator. We want to hear your stories as well. And you can share those stories at 703-791-1701. You can use WhatsApp or you can just drop us a voicemail and we will gladly play it on the show and talk about it on this stream. Speaking of this stream, yeah, every time we go live, we're going to live and we're going to record 3 to 4 episodes. So by all means, swing on back around here to twitch.tv/TheTMonster and bring your questions in here. And we will handle those live. So please, by all means, go ahead and do that. You can also reach us at our website. You can reach our YouTube through our website as well. It is podcastingfordummies.com. So there you have it there. And remember, folks, that Podcasting for Dummies is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. And you can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. On behalf of Chuck Tomasi, thanks for watching and thanks for listening, everybody. Pod on.